or at least I thought it was rivet. Made me contemplate and think of things and self-examination, etc., etc. So, like I said, we're going to read verses 20 through 27. We'll finish this chapter this evening, and we'll mainly note Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. Now, we pick up basically in verse 19, the last conversation that Elisha has with Naaman, the once leper. And it says, so he departed, Naaman, from Elisha a little way. And Elisha told him to go in peace. He was concerned about a situation that may come crop up. And he said, go in peace. So that's the last conversation that those two men have. Now enters in Elisha's servant. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Now this Gehazi, every time we've seen him, it's not in a good light. He's selfish. We'll see what more he is. And it's a picture of religion in our day in the flesh. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot to meet him and said, is all well, or is there peace? And of course, Gehazi said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Carmel, from Mount Ephraim, two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of raiment. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents of silver. And he urged Gehazi, and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, that is Naaman's servants, and they bare them for Gehazi. Now these talents, from what I read, is about 200, 250 pounds. So each. So then he offers them more. Tells him, he gives them to his servants to follow him, he assumed back to the master's place, but no. And when he came to the tower, that is a secret place, that is Gehazi, he didn't go back home, he went to a secret place, or a place before choosing. He took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, so now he's back with his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhere. And Elisha said unto him, went not my heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, and to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, manservants and maidservants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. So this is a frightening thing because of the first, our first point, verse 20. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God. This is what we see here, is this first point, is the mind of the flesh, the mind of one who must add something to free grace. And we'll see where this is at, and we'll see that Gehazi, in his mind, he knew the gospel. He understood it, not in his heart, he understood it. It's just like the Pharisees. A message was preached so many years ago by Tim James. It was the gospel according to our enemies. And he talked about how the Pharisees and Sadducees, they said, like, this man receive a sinner. He said, that's the gospel. But they didn't know it. This is what's going on with Gehazi. Now, here's the frightening thing. Religion does, at least often, in the intellect, understand and just see how grace works, but they must add something to it. They cannot leave free grace alone. It's free grace plus something. Something of their own device, something of the law or whatever. They must add something to it. Now here's the first thought on under that heading. The sad truth and reality is Gehazi had seen all these previous miracles. He had been around Elisha and his teachings. He was his personal servant. He had been around Elisha's instructions and doctrine, which was grace, full and free. Yet, mark this down, if the heart is not changed, man will always try to alter the message, the method, and the means that God's grace. The second thing we see in the heart of Gehazi is he had no real regard for Naaman, because he says, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian. He didn't deserve, you know, it's like he didn't deserve to have his leprosy clean. This Syrian. That's not a mark or a phrase of endearment. Grace in the heart produces care and concern for others. Grace in the soul shows itself gracious, kind, not like Gehazi, we'll see, covetous, greedy, and lustful. And look at what else he says. This Syrian, he says, my master hath spared. Isn't that what the good news of the gospel is? The sparing of a leper, spiritually speaking. Gehazi should have been excited, overjoyed, and rejoiced that maybe this Gehazi, maybe he has a family at home. Maybe whatever. But now he could go back to his people clean, every whit. But, you know, he didn't rejoice. He was bitter. Bitter because the love of money, profit and gain, had him this way. These are all part of Gehazi's problems. And this is the part of the problem with religious hucksters and hirelings. They are more interested in profit and gain and increase in income than they are people's souls. The third thing I see in this verse 20 is Gehazi mentions, as did the Pharisees, the heart of the gospel. Look at what he says. Gehazi said, behold, my master, he didn't spare this guy, the Syrian. But look, here's the gospel right here. This next phrase, in not receiving at his hands or not receiving from Naaman that which he brought. Salvation is cannot be bought, which is what Naaman thought. He brought all this stuff in his pride and arrogance. And then the Lord humbled him, cleansed him, brought him down, humbled him, cleansed him. And Gehazi still thinking about the money. No, he got saved. He got redeemed. He got cleansed. He owes my master. He owes him something. He should have taken some money. No, salvation cannot be bought. But this is the gospel. Not receiving of his hands that which he brought. In my hands no price I bring. Salvation costs us nothing. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't pay for it. Because Christ has done all the work. We rest in him. And that's what Elisha said. I'm not going to take it. He understood about the prophet school. He understood the needs of the time and the family. He understood all these things. He refused to take any money for that which is free. Elisha freely received. Elisha freely gave. But Gehazi, he knows more than his master. He knows more than God. This man received as sinners is what the Pharisees said. That's what they accused Christ of doing. And I'm so thankful that God, that salvation doesn't cost us anything. He didn't receive anything at his hands, which he brought. And we bring a lot of things to the foot of the cross. We bring a lot of things, but if it's for salvation, for purchase, no, we don't. We can't purchase it. We can't buy it. It's not for sale. So I'm thankful that it's so. Well, the fourth thing we see here is he takes the Lord's name in vain. We're still in verse 20. Receiving at his hands that which the Lord brought, which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, don't you hear this all the time? Religious folks, they're using the Lord's name in vain. They don't understand what they're talking about. They don't understand the gospel. They're standing behind pulpits. They're standing by, you know, leading, singing, all these different things. And the very thought of God is blasphemous. But he uses it as the Lord lives. Not if the Lord wills. This is what I'm going to do. And I expect God to approve of. I will run after him and take somewhat. Take. What a good word. Take it. I'm going to take it. Religion takes the name of our Lord in vain. As the Lord liveth, he says, one day all who will bow not to Christ will choke on these words. As the Lord liveth. Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Lord, Lord, didn't we do that? And again, he says, I will take. Again, religion must get gain. It must get property. It must raise money for the church. Bake sales. I remember we talked about this years ago. We're not going to have a bake sale because we don't rely on the world for this place to circulate, to be maintained. God will maintain that which he will maintain of himself. It's all an abomination to God. This is what was in Gehazi's heart. Before we get to verse 27, we'll see even more brazen attitude. We'll go to verse 21. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running, he lighted down from his chariot. Now, this is a little different than when he first appeared to Elisha. He just stood there and expected this, all these different things because he thought he was something. Then the Lord took him down. He went down and washed, humbled him, saved him by his free sovereign grace. Now he looks back. He sees the servant of the man of God running. He gets down off his horse and is concerned. What difference in the attitude? You see the difference in one's greed and one's he's trying to help. But Gehazi is following the money. And I say, let us be warned against greed, covetousness, overstating our needs, or which is really our wants. Some, if we can get them confused. But look at Naaman. He's still gracious. He's still humbled. Yet he's a young convert. We need to remember that he's a young convert. He was fooled. He was tricked. He was deceived. He went down to meet Gehazi. And then in the margin it says, he says, is it well? In the margin it's, is there peace? Yes. There's peace by being redeemed, being delivered, being shown great, the grace of God by the free mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that peace that passes all understanding. But as I said before, regarding Gehazi, all privileges and advantages Gehazi had seen, heard, and witnessed was not mixed with faith. It talks about it in Hebrews. Not mixed with faith. But he had a love of money. May the Lord have mercy upon us here that this be not charged to us. That we be more concerned about a name, a position, in a, you know, whatever, in a community. To be seen of men, that's the problem, to be seen of men. But verse 21, he jumps off the, gets off his chariot and he meets him. And look at him, look at how what he does. He says, verse 22, he says, is it well? Is it peace? I can answer the question. I can make a verbal outward quiz, but the heart in reality is not moved. But it's easy to answer somebody, to answer the questions, to answer tulip, to get these things straight. I'm safe because Naaman doesn't, he's a young believer, he doesn't know much, he's easily deceived. From Naaman anyway. And then he goes on and he says in verse 22, my master, this is, he blames it on Elisha. My master lied, blames on the man of God. Thirdly, he makes up the story. It sounds nice. It sounds syrupy. It hits the heartstrings, doesn't it? These got men coming in from the school of prophets, and we're in a famine. You know, all these different things. It plays on emotions, and that's what I warn us again tonight. False religion, it can tug at the heartstrings. Boy, they are really good at the old stories, the old emotional stories. Verse 23, he asked for a talent, a bag of silver, and two changes. And the gracious Naaman, who's been shown grace, he gives more than is asked for. This should be the same with us. May we go further. May we go greater. May we go more because God has graced us with much and more. As I said many times, that saying, there's that old man sitting there with some water and bread. You know, he's praying, what, this a piece of bread and water and Christ too? You know, that should be our attitude. Or John Wesley, which I found out John Wesley said this. I can attribute it to Henry, but Henry got it from one of the Wesley brothers. He said, get more so you can give more. get more so you can give more. May we be moved likewise. May we teach our children likewise. May we, of all things, show charity. And this is what he's doing. He asks for this amount. Naaman doesn't know he's being hoodwinked. And the children of the king are often, you know, we're often sincere and humble. Somebody asks you something, you just give. But he showed charity, and he showed more. For the love of Christ constrains his people. Love with wisdom. And this will be the only thing that I would add here is love. We need to love with wisdom, and we need to love with purpose and intelligence. It's not wrong to research. Somebody keeps coming, and you say, you know, I need to do a little research, find out what's going on, instead of just keep handing stuff out. So, but like I say, Naaman, he thought he was coming, representing, and that's the sad thing. He'd had all these privileges, and so you assume that Gehazi is representing Elisha. Lying, telling a big story. Plus, Naaman has his servants carry this. This is heavy. So he has to go take care of it. In verse 24, they come to a tower. That simply means a secret place. So he didn't go back to the man of God. He went to a secret place. And he says later on, when Elisha's rebuking him, he talks about vineyards, olives. What he was doing, and all the commentators agreed, I looked at this, I think it's actually accurate and correct, is he's going and taking and hiding the money because he's going to do vineyards, he's going to buy maidservants, he's going to take care of himself. He's going to take care of himself. And who does this sound like? In Joshua chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, but there was a man named Achan. He hid gold. You can't hide things from God. So, watch out. When we begin trying to hide our sins, God may uncover it to our shame. He wanted to buy land and vineyards and sheep. In verse 26, we see that. The basic point is he simply took from the rich to assist himself in future endeavors. Nobody will know. Now look at verse 27. I'm sorry, verse 25 through 27. Verse 25. Then he goes back. He goes back to his master's, to Elisha. And Gehazi goes in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? If I could emphasize a couple things, this would be one thing. This is very similar to what God said to Adam. Where are you? He's given him space to repent. He's given this sinner space and time to repent. But like Esau, he didn't even seek it bitterly with tears. Esau did, and it wasn't granted. This sounds very familiar. This question sounds like when God was speaking to Adam. He's giving Gehazi the opportunity to confess, repent, and do unto God in humility. Now, this is for all of us, and this is for the kids. When you do something wrong, it's best to confess and move on. It's always best to confess and move on. Because I know as a child, my mom and dad had eyes in the back of their heads. They had networks that I didn't know about, and whatever I did would always come back. And Jackie's laughing. That's true. But the more importantly is, God sees everything. We cannot hide our sin. This is, just own up to our sins, confess it, and be done with it. Christ, look at that. Where have you been? Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And here's what he said. Thy servant went nowhere. But God had left him to himself. He tries to hide it still. And God, or Elijah as the Lord Jesus Christ, will not be made mockery of. Nor will his truth be made a mockery of, or his gospel, or his way. If we desire this world's riches, praise, fame, and love, we will do anything at any time for it. This is what he's doing. He's excusing, he's justifying, he's lying, he's doing this, he's doing that. He's trying to do everything to make it right. Well, verse 27, but we will perish with our riches and our praise and our worldly fame as well. Gehazi got from Naaman what he didn't want, and that was his leprosy. Not only did he get it, but his family and every generation thereafter. Verse 27, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. That white as snow, that's incurable. He's gone. He's going to die from it. The key of the whole thing is this. In verse 20, we cannot fool around with God's grace in Christ. The whole reason why he went was because Elisha did not receive from Naaman, from him, that which he brought. Because he realized grace cannot be bought. Grace is free and grace is full and grace is in Christ. That's what started the whole thing. That's what started the whole thing. And if we fool around with God's grace in Christ, which is free to all who believe, if we mess around with this, we do so to our own utter ruin, our own utter destruction. If it were me, I wouldn't have said anything to Gehazi. I wouldn't ask him where he went. I wouldn't have given him the space, but I'm not God, and God is gracious. We're too exacting. Or we don't forget a wrong or this or that. What lesson? What a lesson. What a lesson for us. What a lesson for our children to own up to our depravity, own up to our sin, and confess him. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's what he says. Well, I'm sure he didn't get to spend the money. I'm sure it was all over. But not only that, it cleaved unto him and unto his seed forever. That's his entire posterity from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. You say, oh, that must be one of Gehazi's kids. Just that, and that sin just keeps on bringing itself back up because you're not going to get rid of it. It's there forever. Nathan, would you close this, please?